dun, dun, dun.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Welcome back
to another episode of Moms. Okay, there we go. In the trenches. I'm Michaela.
And Yami, and we're so happy that you are joining us back on this fine Monday for another fun episode. We are going to be talking about fictional characters, mythological characters.
It's so funny you say that, because I literally saved it as fictional characters. I was like, I don't know what to call this, and then I just was like, fictional characters, how about that?
Yeah, it, you know, i.e. the Tooth Fairy, Santa Claus, more specifically the Easter Bunny.
Yes,
because we are Easter just passed.
Yes, yeah, so I feel like by the time this episode goes up, Easter will have already passed. But so Easter, on brand.
Yeah, we're keeping in theme with Easter. I hope you had a wonderful Easter.
Yes.
I'm sure you did. Yes, so we're going to be talking about how we plan on approaching that. Obviously, it's a somewhat debatable topic, right? Like, I feel like there's people on different sides of the argument.
Yeah, for sure.
Pros and cons to having your kids believe, or encouraging your kids to believe, in fictional characters like the Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, etc.
Tooth Fairy, all of those.
Where do you stand on this spectrum, Mick?
So, growing up, my mom never did Tooth Fairy, never did Santa, never did
wow, really?
Easter Bunny, none of that. And for me, it's normal. Thankfully, I was never that kid that was like, if people said something about Santa in school or, you know, whatever, I was never that kid that was just like, he's not real. You know, for some reason I knew innately to not say something
so
like
that.
So
you don't ever remember a time where when you believed in Santa Claus?
No.
Like your mom straight
never
up told you.
Nope. And what the crazy thing is it was never a conversation until I was older. I want to say I was like an older teenager, and my mom was like, yeah, I'm just not gonna let somebody take credit for all my hard work. And it was also just being
that part.
It's also just being aware. When I was younger, I knew my mom was buying presents. I knew she was hiding presents from me, so it was kind of just like, you know, I know that my mom was the magic. And I think that that's kind of where I stand with the kids. Like, I don't correct them if they say something about Santa. I don't correct them if they bring something up about the Tooth Fairy. But I also don't really encourage it either. So that's kind of where I stand with it. And I think the other thing, too, is just growing up in a Black household, it's different. It's different because my mom wasn't going to let, I hope I don't offend anybody, but she wasn't going to let anybody, like, say that a jolly old white man was taking credit for her
that part
buying gifts for her children. So
I don't think that's offensive.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, and I'm sure the same is true vice versa. People of other, you know, ethnicities and stuff will be like, well, I don't, like, my mom's probably not gonna say, and it doesn't matter, even if it was a Black Santa, my mom's gonna be like, this man didn't work 40 hours a week, 52 weeks out the year to buy the gifts.
So where do you stand with the Easter Bunny? Do you do the same? Do you take the same approach with the Easter Bunny? Do you give them Easter baskets? Do you do the Easter egg hunt?
So we do an Easter egg hunt every year with Dakota's family. However, we don't do Easter baskets. And we don't.
You don't do Easter baskets?
No, we don't do Easter baskets.
How extra you are, I'm a little surprised.
Well, let me say this. I personally don't really do them. Dakota has bought Easter baskets before and been like, oh, this would be cool. Yeah. The kids don't really understand. And I'm also one of those people where I'm like, I don't want to set this expectation that every year I'm going to go out of my way to get an Easter basket for you. And it's also just, as a Christian, that's not the meaning. And so it's hard for me to combine the two and be like, let me get you a basket with all of these goodies. I really just want my kids to understand the meaning behind Easter. And then the fun part being the eggs. Like, they look forward to egg hunting, but the baskets and stuff. I really, if I had more money and my kids didn't have birthdays right after Christmas and I wasn't broke all the time, my preference would be I would rather go all out for, like, Valentine's Day as opposed to Easter, and equating, like, an Easter bunny. I know that there's symbolism and stuff with it, but I don't know. I think as a Christian with those values, I'd rather have my kids understand the meaning behind it than be all in on this character.
Yeah.
So
that's totally understandable. That's totally understandable. I see where you're coming from.
But I do feel judged about the baskets. But I can't.
I'm not. I wasn't judging. I was just considering everything I know about you. I was just that was a genuine reaction, you guys, audience listening. I didn't know that she didn't do Easter baskets. Because you're so extra. But I get it, though, because Easter is different when you have, you know, when you're a Christian and whatnot. So I get it. So there are some pros and cons, obviously. Believing in Easter, in the Easter bunny, can foster imagination and creativity in children. Offering a fun way to understand family traditions and celebrate Easter. However, it can also lead to disappointment when the truth is revealed and potentially raise questions about truthfulness and trust. And I think this is where the argument lies. I think it's not necessarily about, you know, the Easter bunny or the tooth fairy. Right. It's not necessarily about the character. It's about some people feel very strongly about disappointing their children or wanting to not lie to their children. Even if it's considered a white lie, right? Like, even if it's considered, you know, to foster their imagination and for funsies and whatnot. And I totally understand that, because before I had kids, I was one of those people that was like, no, I'm not going to lie to my kids. Child, that changed. That
it changes that, real we fast. We did a
180 on it. Shoot, you telling me? So obviously, there's some pros and cons. I have some notes here. So obviously, the pros, which I just said, foster imagination, creativity, provides a sense of wonder and joy. Which, as a parent, I totally understand you wanting to, like, preserve that innocence and that, like, you know, curiosity, and I get that. I do. So I don't fault people for going all out with the Easter bunny or the tooth fairy or whatever, because it's cute. They're little and they're innocent, and we'll get into all that, you know, the scientific part of it. But I get that part. And also social norms, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you want to teach your children about socially desirable behavior, such as behaving well and being rewarded, that sort of thing. Like you said, I also personally don't want my kid to be that asshole that tells other kids, like, hey, this isn't real, you're stupid. Like,
yeah, I don't. Yeah. And Zion will be quick. He will be quick and be like, that's not real. That's not a thing. Like, I mean, and I will say for Christmas, I think
Zion's a little, like, fact checker.
He though. Is. Like, he says he's a clever clogs because he watches Peppa too much. But he last year we said something and we brought up Santa, and he was like, well, I mean, it's just you and Daddy. And we were like, what? And he was like, yeah. He was like, it's just you and Daddy. And I was like, okay. Nobody said anything to him. Nobody's been like, Santa's not real. No, you know, had that conversation or anything. Nobody said anything like that. But I do want to say, where's the article that you're pulling this up from, the psychology study?
So I have a couple of different sources. Primarily, though, so parenting coach Barbara Harvey. She is an executive director at a parent developmental group in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay.
Called Parents, Teachers, and Advocates. She says, quote, this way the kids can enjoy the magic and wonder of these characters without having to believe that they exist. So what I'm quoting from that article, according to her, because she's a parenting coach, and those exist, she says, quote, I encourage parents to tell their children about the origins of these fictional characters and to talk about how the stories have become larger than life. Then it becomes fun to examine. So say, okay, what's going down with the Easter Bunny at Easter? Let's look around and see how the Easter Bunny has become larger than life, that sort of thing. So she kind of recommends still encouraging that like sense of wonder and magic without actually having them believe that this character exists.
Yeah,
similar
I
to like
that.
Mickey, Minnie, where like they know that, you know, this is a character, right?
Yeah.
And when they go to like amusement parks or whatever, they know that it's, you know, a character.
Yeah.
Rather than a real person that does, you know, that travels the world in one night, for example.
Yeah, I like that approach. I like that approach a lot. I've never thought about, you know, approaching it that way with the kids.
Yeah, so because I mean, and kids are naturally curious, right? So it doesn't, I feel like it wouldn't take much to, you know, especially like with your kid, for example, because Zion is such like a curious, like, I mean, he's an old soul, you guys. I say this all the time about Zai, but I feel like he would be more on like the analytical side of these things. Which is totally fine, you know, and obviously to each their own. Some would argue as one of the cons is that it can overshadow the true meaning of Easter, which obviously as Christians, you mentioned that. And I totally understand that. Potential for disappointment is what it's like the number one listed con when parents were surveyed. Because you don't want your kid to think of you as a liar. We want to encourage honesty and openness and that sort of thing. So it's kind of like a balancing act, right? So obviously this doesn't apply to everybody. To us, though, as Christians, I mean, yeah, there's a bigger meaning there. But when we're talking about, and this is just the way that I look at it, when we're talking about children, like especially babies, like, toddlers, you know, like my kids, for example, they know about like church and stuff, but they're still not fully aware, you know, what they know what praise is, but they're still not fully aware of like, we believe in this and we don't believe in that. We haven't talked about sins or anything because, you know, they're kids. And again, this is just me, right? But it's kind of like you have to put it all in a balance beam. But obviously, finding the balance between fostering their imagination while also being truthful, I think that's the best, you know, approach.
Yeah.
And that honestly makes it easier on your job as a parent because then you don't have to, you know, come up, which I love when people do, like, for example, when they do the little, for Easter, I've seen those little Easter bunny kits where they leave little footprints or little cotton balls. And it's like,
or it makes me think of Bluey when they like did the little scavenger hunt. And at the end you see like the footprints and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or people do it with like Santa's boots. So they'll like get like, a big boot and put like glitter or something like around it or like fake snow to like make it look like, you know, Santa was really there. I mean, it's cute. Is it sustainable?
It's kind of, well, it also reminds me of like
full-time working parent.
Show.
I don't think so. Yeah, the same thing. Yeah. Elf on the Shelf is a perfect example. I don't mess with Elf on the Shelf, as I've said before.
I'm lazy, though.
It's cute. It's just, you don't need much. And I feel like this is where people get stumped, especially new parents. You don't need much to make things magical, especially with children.
Yes.
They have natural imaginations.
Yes. And that was going to be the point that I was going to hit on from the study, is like it fosters imagination and stuff. I think with my kids, I did research or look into stuff, but I was very like, let me get this play kitchen. Let's buy a bunch of play food. Let's get dress up stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like there are different ways to foster imagination outside of letting them believe something that you're going to have to break their hearts about later. Also, it can teach, I mean, obviously, like, the play kitchen, you can teach them skills, being like, oh, this is how you cook, whatever, you know, like, use their imaginations. But when it comes to fictional characters, like you said, like, you have to really balance it. Figure out how, like, to get your kids to not tell other kids once they find out, like, this person isn't real. Or the other thing that really breaks my heart is kids going back and saying, oh, Santa got me this. And there are kids who... Santa didn't get them that, like, if anything big. Santa just got them socks. And so what my sister-in-law did for her kids, because she did let them believe in Santa, was... Santa got them basics. Santa got them socks. Santa got them a new toothbrush.
I love that approach.
Right?
Yeah.
Mom and dad got you the iPad. Mom and dad got you the Switch. Mom and dad got you, like, the bigger stuff. So, and I always thought,
I love that approach. That's kind of how I've been doing it with my children, too.
Yeah, I've always thought, like, if we did let them believe that would be the approach that I would take, just because it's like, you know, I feel like it would keep them humble. And everything, but it also goes with, you know, fictional characters like the Tooth Fairy. Well, I was talking to, like, one of the parents on Zion's team, on Zion's team, and his older son was there, and he was like, yeah, he just keeps, all of his, like, teeth are falling out, you know, and he's like, Tooth Fairy, it's expensive now. He gets $5 per tooth, and I'm like, $5?
That's better than what I got.
Listen, I think I lost my first tooth at my great uncle's house. And first off, I accidentally dropped the tooth in the little air vent because it was on the floor. I don't know why we ever put air vents on the floor. And
I got coins. That's crazy. I would get like 50
I was about
cents.
To say, I'm pretty sure back then I got a dollar at most. And then it was like I
this
lost
tooth
teeth
fairy
after that.
Has inflation.
Yeah. And it's like after that, I don't remember losing teeth and getting money from my mom. Like I legit do not remember getting money. I don't remember maybe the first tooth with my brother and sister, they got money, but I don't remember them getting Tooth Fairy money or anything like that. And so it's just another thing of like you go to school and you're like, hey, I lost a tooth. Tooth Fairy gave me $5. Or, you know, well, Tooth Fairy only gave me 50 cents. I don't even know what 50 cents is. I can't, you know.
That's crazy. Yeah.
So I think a lot of it for me is not wanting to break other kids' hearts. And
yeah,
it has to be a healthy balance for me of also teaching my kids that, like, sometimes you just don't have it, okay? Like, I don't have $5 to go and get you because you lost a tooth.
Very much so. Very much so. Yeah.
Yeah. Some things are just a part of life.
Exactly. And that's one way to, that's one way to look at it. Talking about the benefits, which is really what I want to focus on, the biggest one, obviously, we said is sparking the kids' imagination, so, you know, fostering creativity, which obviously we know is key to intellectual development. Stephanie Wagner, who has a PhD in child psychology at NYU, says that characters offer an easy way to help kids understand the concept of family traditions. A 4-year-old, for example, won't probably won't remember grandma's homemade egg salad or a solemn church service, but you can bet that the chocolate bunny farm he'll never forget was a fantastical tale about a giant rabbit. That said, there's also no harm in being upfront with the kids, which is seems to be more our approach. With kids from the start, or not celebrating Easter or Christmas in the first place, which a lot of people do. The important thing is that you find ways to spur creativity and make family rituals fun and kid friendly. Stephanie Wagner, like I said, she has a PhD in child psychology at NYU Langone, however you say that. we'll post these resources, and you know, we like to cite our sources over here. But she also says the Easter Bunny, or quote, the Easter Bunny is a lot like other things that you know aren't real, but you used to believe in, like the monster under the bed. You should assure your child that this won't change your family's tradition, i.e. there will still be Easter baskets if you do them, and suggest new ways your kid can celebrate, maybe by hiding eggs from their younger cousins or younger siblings. Keeping the conversation light, most children will react emotionally only if you are emotional too. So, you know, I feel like that's good. Also, I go back to the Santa thing on Christmas. This is something that I've fought tooth and nail my family over. But like Jewish kids, for example, don't mm-hmm. believe in Santa. A lot of them don't, you know, subscribe to that idea of mm-hmm. Santa, and they're still happy, healthy, imaginative right. kids. Me, for example, I grew up in Puerto Rico, and Santa was like the American thing, like the European thing. Mm-hmm. So we knew Santa wasn't real. Let's be real. What we did subscribe to was the Three Kings.
Yeah.
Which also give us presents. The Three Kings, or the Three Wise Men, as some people know them as the Three Wise Men. We get gifts from them. And I remember one time when I was like, I don't know, probably 8 or 9, I remember walking around Walmart and with my mom, and I was like, you know, and it was obviously around the holidays, and I was like, Mom, you know, it doesn't make any sense that the Three Kings leave us presents because, like, they're dead.
Mm.
Because the Three Kings, if you believe in any sort of, you know, subcategory of like Christianity, you know that the three wise men went to Bethlehem to give baby Jesus myrrh mm-hmm. and frankincense and gold. But you know that this is a story that happened thousands of years ago.
Right.
And eventually, when you're a kid, you figure that out. And I did. And I was like, it doesn't make sense that we get presents from them when they died, like thousands of years ago in the Bible. Like, it doesn't specify how they died or what happened, but we know it was thousands of years
right.
ago. So they gone, you know. And at least in Puerto Rico, I don't know about other. I think on other Caribbean, you know, Spanish speaking countries do this as well, where they gather grass for the camels
mm-hmm.
and water for the camels. So what you do is you know, and obviously we don't have seasons, so the grass is still very much alive in January when it's Three Kings Day. So you go, when you're a kid, you like pull grass and weeds and stuff, and you put it in like a little shoebox or something. Some people put carrots or whatever, and it's kind of the equivalent of leaving milk and cookies for Santa, but it's mm-hmm. for the camels. And then when you wake up the next day on Three Kings Day, the grass is gone because the camels came and ate the grass.
Yeah.
And it's adorable, and it's a tradition that, you know, obviously when you're from where I'm from, we very much want to keep that alive, you know. And you'll see, if you go to Puerto Rico or the Dominican Republic or you know, any other country like that, you'll see kids on January 5th, you'll see kids at the park or mm-hmm. in their yard picking up grass to put it in like a shoebox.
Yeah.
And then January 6th is Three Kings Day, and we have a big party. You know, January 5th, we kind of treat that as kind of like Christmas Eve all over again. So typically you get together and you get presents. So growing up, I always got like the best gifts from Three Kings Day. Santa would leave us like simple stuff. But my great grandma, God bless her soul, my great grandma was probably the first person that told me like, oh no, Santa.
Your great grandma was like, we don't do that here. We're not doing that.
Yeah. Like she literally was like, oh no, that's an American thing. We don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, so obviously I see it from a different point of view. But it's interesting because I've been telling my kids about the Easter baskets. I hyped it up because I like putting, you know, chalk and little treats and coloring books. And I make like a, you know, I wrap them myself, and I take a lot of it. It brings me joy, you know, because I know they're going to like it. They're going to use it. And like I said, I mainly put like crafty stuff, and we'll do an Easter egg hunt here in like our backyard. The thing is though, and some people might find this controversial, the Easter eggs for the most part are empty. I put a little bit of candy here and there. And then I have big giant ones where I'll put, you know, jump rope, bubbles, that sort of thing.
Yeah. I mean, the way but that candy most is expensive. Most of them
are empty.
The way that candy is expensive now.
Well, the thing is a lot of the fun really is just catching, at least for my children, it's just finding them.
Yeah.
They don't really care what's inside. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's just my kids. You know what I mean? So I very much like hype it up because it's fun and I want them to like have fun and I want to do stuff for them and whatnot. But I understand why people, you know, don't. It's work. And parenting is already hard.
Mm-hmm.
So according to Dr. Fran Walfish, who is the author of The Self-Aware Parent. You can get that book on Amazon. We'll link it if you're interested. It is a really, really good book. The Self-Aware Parent by Dr. Fran is a really, really good book. Anyways, when asked about, is it harmless? Should you perpetuate the idea and make believe characters? Is it a benign practice? Blah, blah, blah. Dr. Fran says the answer is both yes and no. Quote, parents should never lie to their children about anything. However, when it comes to myths like Santa and the Tooth Fairy, many parents want to carry on the tradition of fun by nurturing the gentle belief in these myths when the kids are young.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, this is coming from a child psychologist. She continues, quote, usually by the age of 7 or 8, most children wonder out loud and ask mommy and daddy if Santa's real, for example. It's up to the parent at that point to respond honestly and openly by saying something like, when I was a child, my parents thought it was fun. It was a fun part of Christmas to teach us about the myth of Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it so much, I decided to share those teachings with my children. It's up to you to decide whether you want to carry on the family tradition or do Christmas in your own special way, end quote, says Dr. Fran Walfish. She's also a regular expert on the show The Doctors on CBS. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
No, I've never seen it. I feel like I've heard of it, though.
Yeah, so again, all this to say, the verdict is still out, right? So despite what Dr. Fran will say, or, you know, the parenting coach, Ms. Harvey, or what your pastor said, well, no, what my pastor says is important, or, you know, child psychologist Stephanie Wagner, it doesn't, despite the advice of the experts, there isn't much science to guide us in understanding what in the world should we do as parents going forward. The research says that most kids figure it out by 7 or 8, which sounds about right. I guess I feel like I believed until then, and then it was my mom, the way she made it was like, okay, well, you're my accomplice now for your sister. So on Christmas Eve, now you have to lie. I would eat. Well, on Christmas Eve, I got to eat the cookies because somebody had to get rid of the cookies. Oh, okay, cool. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, so that's how my mom, my mom did it. And I love that, you know, because you still get in on the fun, but you're obviously like, oh yeah, I know, like, mm-hmm. I know. The kids generally, according to science, have a positive reaction to learning these characters aren't real. It is actually the parents who report feeling sad when the children stop believing in characters like Santa Claus.
I can see that. I can see parents really.
I was gonna say I can see that. Because you don't want them to grow up.
Yeah, and if you started that magic, that experience, then to watch it, like, I mean, I'm having a hard time with Zion being like a blanket that he's had since he was born. He's like, yeah, it's just too small for me now. I just need a new blanket. I'm like, you want a new blanket? Like, I could totally see how. I can totally see how if that's something that we've started and you've had for all these years and all of a sudden you're like, yeah, I'm just kind of over it. Like, I know he's not real. You know, I could be like, yeah, what do you mean he's not real? Like, now what am I going to do? And I think, too, one of the other things, going back to, like, Easter baskets real quick, I think a hard time that I have gathering an Easter basket, doing these extra things, aside from Christianity alone, it's just the fact that my spoiled kids get stuff throughout the year from their daddy, mostly. Also from me. If I go to the store and I see something, I'm like, oh, they might like that. I'm quicker to be like, they'll be fine.
But mostly dad.
But yeah, Dakota's the one who's like, oh, yeah, I went to the store. I didn't have a lot of money, but I got them this new water slide. I'm like, how did you not have enough money, but you show up with a water slide? Like, they get stuff throughout the year. So then to me.
I swear, dads just go off vibes.
Because, like, they're kids.
There's no thought process.
Whereas for me, I'm like, you know, they'll be fine. Their grandparents have a pool. They don't need a water slide at the house. Like, we have a sprinkler. We have, you know, we have these little things. But anyways, I digress. So for me, that moment too of being like, let me put together this basket. It's like, well, they get chalk pretty much spring and fall now because we're at the ball field and Carolina needs chalk to play with. They get, you know, like, any kind of
her little entertainment.
Yeah, any kind of little knickknacks like we usually get throughout the year or fun little toys. So with Easter, there's that. With Christmas, because we have such a big family too, we already have traditions that I feel like the kids appreciate, especially Zion. He's like, are we going here? Are we doing, like, are we going to be coloring? Like, one year at their grandparents' house, their grandmother bought, like, ornaments and had all the kids paint their own ornament. Oh, so
that's adorable.
I think in lieu of that magic, of the Santa magic, they see Santa. There's no getting away from Santa. They are also just ingrained in other traditions with the family and things that we started. So it kind of balances it. And, yeah, I mean, if they ever ask, I'll just be honest. I think that's the conclusion that I'm coming to is, I'm just going to be honest and be like, pretty much what the scientists are saying is just, this is a character. This is somebody that's, you know, made up. And this is a story of old St. Nicholas. And this is a story of the Easter Bunny. You know, it's just something to make the holidays even more fun and even more special.
Yeah.
So I think that's the conclusion that I'm coming to overall.
I get why, like I said, I get why it would be considered, a lot of people would consider it a white lie, because the world is already such a cruel, cruel place. Mm-hmm. And there's so many harsh realities that eventually our kids are going to be exposed to. So I get trying to, like, preserve their innocence and their, you know, their, and I also see it from a different point of view because, you know, your kids have cousins and whatnot, where my kids are the only kids.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it almost feels extra important to be honest, about the fact that these are fictional characters, mm-hmm. like Peppa, like Mickey, you know, like the Minions, because I want them to be able to relate to their peers and be understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Elizabeth Berger, who's a child psychiatrist and the author of Raising Kids with Character. It's on my reading list, but if y'all have read it, let me know. But the author of Raising Kids with Character, she actually thinks that children should be directed to share the belief of their peers, whatever these might be. See, I'm gonna pause on that because some kids' parents, they be leading them all kinds of wrong ways.
Exactly.
So, respectfully, Dr. Elizabeth, I don't know about that, but
yeah,
I'll continue. She says, Berger reminds concerned parents that, quote, adjusting the nature of reality to the child's developmental level is one of the main missions of parenthood. This involves adjusting the nature of reality for one's child to the social reality of the community in which the parent has chosen to raise the child.
That sounds very problematic. I'm sorry.
It is. And I mean, she's a child psychiatrist, so I'm sure she's used to this kind of heat. But I mean, I get it where she's coming from like a psychiatry point of view, even though I didn't study that. Like, I'm not knocking her because
no.
she has the credentials. Like, but again, like some there's certain behaviors, negative behaviors, and negative ways of thinking that unfortunately start in the home. Like, racism mm-hmm. is something that is taught mm-hmm. in the home. Kids aren't born with those preconceived notions, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Argue with your mama. Like, that's just what
I Well, think. you also have to take into account,
so I'm not
too,
gonna, like, you know, validate another kid telling me that, like, white people are the superior race. Like, I'm not gonna indulge them in that nonsense, because to me it's nonsense.
Well, you also
But
have
again,
to think
she
about
she did say the environment that the parent has chosen to raise their child. So that's important to underline
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I was going to say too is I feel like it takes away the opportunity for kids to be individuals as well and form their own
yeah.
opinions, and that's where I have kind of an issue. And that, again, that's why I feel like it's important, at least for us, to keep it kind of neutral, not really force and make them believe it, but let them come to their own opinions on Santa and the Easter Bunny. We've never had the conversations with them to be like, this isn't real, this isn't, you know, whatever, XYZ, but kind of on their own, just form, like Zion said in the beginning, oh, that's mom and dad. Like, he's already known that. Mm-hmm. We didn't have to express that. He
yeah.
came to that conclusion himself. I don't want to force him to go with whatever the environment is just because that makes him
yeah.
fit in. So
yeah.
that's why I'm like, that's problematic for me. I like my kids to have, I like my kids to have individualism. I like them to come to conclusions on their own and feel confident in their conclusions and not like a herd mind kind of thing.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. It is very problematic, and for a lot of different reasons. Mostly, like I said, I look at it from, like, some of y'all be teaching your kids hate.
Oh, for sure.
And foolishness, and I'm not finna indulge.
Yeah.
I
think some people might see that as, like, they might see it as me being dramatic, because it's like, oh, that's harmless, it's just Easter Bunny, it's just Santa Claus. But mm. I feel like a lot of teachings bleed into other teachings. Like, you know, I don't want, this is, I want to say an extreme example, but you know how, like, as a girl, you're taught to just be nice, And sometimes it's like, no, I need to be mean, because if this man is following me, being nice might that still, you know, so.
Yep.
I feel like.
I totally get that.
Yeah. I feel like, even like, though it
seems
harmless.
We're not over here teaching our boys that, like, oh, boys will be boys. Like, no.
Yeah. Yeah. So I feel like, even though it seems harmless, again, parenting is so difficult, because it's a healthy balance of teaching them to be kids, allowing them to be kids and have this imaginative experience, while also being like, however, I have to set you up for success for the real world. And the real world is going to want you to comply with things, or, you know, try to force you to. But you're also an individual who can come up with your own opinions and stuff. And so,
yeah,
this got deeper than I expected it to. But
I mean, it really is that deep, you know, and despite, you know, scientific evidence about the kids not being sad or damaged or not being ruined for eternity. some people, at least one expert, disagrees, because obviously I gotta give you both sides.
Yeah, no, so I appreciate
child
that.
And child and adult therapist Courtney Rodriguez, without the Z.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know. The way her parents spelled it is Courtney Rodriguez, says, quote, "When your child learns that there is no Santa Claus or Easter Bunny, it is certainly sad for him or her. And as parents, we need to be sure to validate their disappointment." Rodriguez suggests that children, on learning the truth, be enlisted, like I said, in keeping the secrets of others. She says, quote, "It is also helpful to tell your child that he or she knows that there is no Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, Tooth Fairy, etc. You need to help. You need their help to keep this special secret so their younger siblings or cousins can enjoy the magic of believing. Parents should emphasize that although there is no magic man in a red suit, for example, this doesn't mean there is no magic to the holiday spirit."
Okay, I definitely agree with the last part. There's magic to the holiday spirit, for sure.
Yeah, there's definitely something in the air. It's mostly just moms. Yeah. When you said your Gigi was the magic, I felt that to my core, because when you grow up, you realize, or at least I realized, a lot of the magic was really mom.
Yeah.
Like, we're the magic for that. So
yeah.
Interestingly, one standout scientific finding is that Jewish children, which I mentioned earlier, are less likely to believe in Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy than Christian children, even when their parents encourage such belief. They ask, could it be the emphasis of the Jewish religion on the Old Testament beliefs, the Ten Commandments? We don't know. The verdict is still out, you guys, is what we're trying to say. But as for me in my house, yeah, I'm going to give them a little Easter basket.
Yeah.
And it's cute.
The only thing that I'm really looking forward to on how we handle, because I haven't decided, Dakota and I haven't talked about how we're going to handle it. I know money is going to be involved, but when Zion loses his first tooth, do we sneak a $5, I guess, under the pillow? Or, you know, I've seen other things where people have, like, something hanging on their door, and, you know, like, there'll be an exchange while the kid's asleep, and, you know, something like that. We haven't talked really about that process, and Zion's mentioned the Tooth Fairy a couple times, but not, like, seriously. So I think whenever he gets his first, when he has his first loose tooth and we have to actually face it, I might throw in like an update on that, because that is the one thing that I do feel like.
I mean, but he's five.
Yeah.
You know, I don't. And again, this is just me, right? He's five.
Yeah. Well, like, I was going to say, I think that's the one thing I'll be lenient about.
I don't think it gets concerning. Yeah, I don't think it gets concerning. And according to the experts, you know, they pretty much figure it out by the time they're like 10, with the Tooth Fairy specifically. So I mean, until then,
No, I definitely, I want to find a way to make it magical. I think the one thing that I might have like the hardest time doing, that's because I've never had this in my life, I've never done this before, is being like, oh, the tooth fairy left you money. Like, that's the part that I'm going to have to get over. But I do want to make it magical for him. I want him to think like, oh my gosh, I woke up and how much money did I get left? How much money did the tooth fairy leave me? And then I think there are ways, you know what? My creative juices are flowing right now. I do think there are ways to make it magical, but, yeah, I don't know. That's something that is quickly approaching. I know he's going to probably lose a tooth this year. Or
I know, I'm not ready.
Right,
I'm
after he turns. He already asked. Oh my gosh.
Mommy's just going to be a wreck.
Yeah, he's already like, Mom, do I have any loose teeth? Can you check? And I'll be like, no loose teeth yet. You're still my baby.
Yeah. Further, Dr. Berger says, quote, it is important that parents are empathetic in easing along the transition to realistic thinking, which most children do naturally as part of their growing intellectual depth and their awareness of peer attitudes. Few 10-year-olds believe in the tooth fairy, regardless of what the parents do or say.
Mm-hmm.
Once a child wants to penetrate the fantasy and comfort the parent and confront the parent with the truth, it is a good idea to congratulate the child on this insight and validate the development of more complex understanding. You can always explain that these silly beliefs are for literal kids, littler kids, and commend the child on his or her maturity. That's according to Dr. Berger.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at the end of the day, I know some parents, as parents, we want to put that on ourselves of like kids fantasizing and imagining and, you know, with or without our input. But as I've said, kids can invent their own fantastical worlds and creatures and, you know, they dream despite our input, right?
Mm-hmm.
That Minecraft movie is a great example. You know, apparently in that Minecraft game, which my kids don't play, but apparently you can create like whole worlds and communities and stuff.
Zion loves Minecraft. So,
yeah. So it's like, it's essentially the same thing, right? Where they're, you know, this is Zion land, and on Tuesday it rains peanut butter cups in Zion land
for no
reason. You know, like nurturing that can be fun, and you guys can as a family decide like what are we going to do to customize this right to the level of maturity that your kids are at. Like I said, what my kids are on the spectrum, or my son is on the spectrum, so it's a little easier for him to kind of just like go with whatever. He is a curious kid, but you know, obviously he's on the spectrum, so he thinks differently and he processes things differently. I don't think either of my kids are going to be super disappointed when they find out that, like, hey, the Easter Bunny, that's not a real thing.
Yeah.
I think they, like I said, I think we've already laid the groundwork for them to be like, oh, yeah, like, I know that, I knew that that wasn't, like, a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but it's, like, fiction.
Yeah.
Just like with any other characters that they see on TV from their favorite shows or what have you. So, please let us know your thoughts. We would love to continue on this conversation. Do you let your kids believe in the Easter Bunny? Did the Easter Bunny come and do like this big egg extravaganza at your house? Do you keep it low key? Do you not mention the Easter Bunny because of your religious beliefs? Do you focus on other things, and or do you combine it? You know, let us know. We want to hear your thoughts and see, you know, how we can improve and how we can navigate this as our kids get older.
I'm definitely interested in learning what other people's approaches are, because I don't feel like mine is right, quote unquote right, and other people's are wrong. I think it truly matters your kids' attitudes too. Like, like you were saying, you know, yeah. AJ's more like go with the flow and stuff. I feel like Zion too is also very curious. Every day there's a new word. He's like, Mom, what does this mean? What is, you know, every single day, to the point that I'm like, okay, I downloaded a dictionary on the iPad so that you can look up words because he's that curious. Yeah. And Carolina is also, her favorite word right now is, well, she has two favorite words. The first one's booty and the second one is why. So, so she's always asking why.
Very on brand for Carolina.
It is. So everything is why, like trying to understand the world and everything. So I feel like, yeah, my kids' attitudes definitely influence the way that I approach these things. I feel like if my kids mm-hmm. were more not as curious and more go with the flow, like you were saying, I'd probably lean into the imaginative figures more. But
yeah, because for sure.
they are analytical or they're trying to figure out the world and they're like, or they figure out easily, like, Mom and Dad, you buy Christmas presents. It's easier yep. for me to just be like, okay, I think that they do see them as characters like Mickey yeah. and Minnie Mouse and stuff. So it's easier for me to be like, not have to create that magic. We find another way to have magical moments.
Yeah. So yeah. And if you're a seasoned parent, or a grandparent even, hit us up. Let us know, how did you approach it? I know with the era of technology and social media, it is, you know, we're facing a very different world than the world that our parents raised us. So hit us up on Instagram at Moms in the Trenches Pod. Let us know, how did you do it? How did your parents do it? Mm-hmm. What are tips and tricks? And at the end of the day, there really isn't a right or wrong answer. Especially if you're, you know, if there's no religious beliefs like attached to some of yeah. these traditions,
For sure.
You can really just do anything, really, as long as your kids are happy and healthy and you're fostering that sense of wonder mm-hmm. that, you know, kids naturally have. You're doing a great job, man. Like,
yeah. For sure. Thank you guys for listening. We hope you had a great Easter.
And we'll see you guys next time. Bye.